Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. And we're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Hey, welcome to the show. And Reba's coming in later, which will be fun. I hope everybody's Friday's starting off good. Hope we're part of that. Thank you for letting us be a part of that. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Amy, what's happening with you?
Oh, man. Not much, but just dealing with, you know, in-app purchases. First of all,
an in-app purchase.
Yeah. You know, when you're in-app or your kids are playing on an app, sometimes they can go around and click things. Like, happens on Amazon a lot. I order things where I'm like, what? And I have to call and Amazon's nice and they return it. Well, my son likes the Bible app. It'll read to you. And he puts it on. The guy's voice is very soothing. And I don't mind it because he's just telling stories from the Bible. So I'm like, this is safe. But I guess Stevenson was in there and pressing around different things. And he got an in-app purchase on the Bible app. And I'm like, come on, Bible app.
What did you buy?
In-app purchases, like an upgraded version. I'm like, the Bible's the same. Like, what
James
version?
James Earl Jones reads the upgraded one. Yeah.
What version? What did we change to? Like, what version is this? So, anyway, I just got an email notification. It was like, thank you for upgrading on the Bible app. And I'm like, oh, man, of all apps, come on.
So, does your son know what's happening, or is he just pushing buttons?
No, he doesn't know what happened. He wasn't like, oh, I'd love this updated version. I'm going to go ahead and download it. No, he has no idea.
Is the guy extra soothing? Like, what's the...
No, I don't know what the updated version is. I mean, I just got the notification. I haven't really even tested it out. It was just something where I was like, oh, man, they got me. I think it came with, like, a little study guide, too, which makes sense. You would pay for that, but I just thought the Bible app would at least be a safe place where it's free, you know? The Bible app's free.
Amy, nothing's free.
I know.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big 3 stories.
Our producer, Raymundo, from The Glass Room with the news. Raymundo, what you got?
In March Madness, we're down to 48 teams. Day 2 of the games gets underway today around lunchtime. More news about the college admissions scandal. Soccer coach from UCLA who accepted $100,000 to get a wealthy family's daughter onto the team. He's resigned now from coaching. And finally, in airline news, no major delays right now because of weather. Make sure you get to the airport, though, a little early. It is the weekend, 5 to 10 minutes. Sometimes that TSA line backs up a little bit.
I got a note here that says our producer, Eddie, who does our videos, thinks he's the best-looking guy in the show. Is that true?
What's up?
Why? Yeah. What's this from?
I posted something on Instagram, and I mean, it was just me on the street with a little umbrella, and like somebody said, the hottest guy on the show, and wow, it got some likes.
Look at you.
Hey, guys, you're looking at the hottest guy on the show right here.
Wow, look at you.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks for all the support.
So you're saying that comment got likes as well?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Somebody said it. Not a lot of people said it, but yeah, somebody said it, and that comment got likes.
Do you feel you're the hottest guy on the show?
I do. I do. I feel like I don't really work that hard on my body. I just kind of live life, you know? And I think that shows that I do enjoy life more than I work hard on my body. And
that shows that the life enjoyment makes you hotter.
And I think girls like that.
Lunchbox, who do you think is the hottest guy on the show?
Me.
Okay.
For sure.
Raymundo, who do you think is the hottest guy on the show?
I would have to go... It's between me and Eddie.
Yeah! Okay, Ray!
See, I like how everyone picks themselves.
Bones, who's the hottest guy on the show to you?
Probably Raymundo.
Oh my god.
Yeah! Not you?
No, I don't think it's me. I think his height hurts him a little bit. He's only
5'6". Absolutely.
But if you're... If we all stood on boxes that made us equal height, Raymundo wins going away.
Yeah! I mean, he does work out a lot.
Ray's like a model.
Yeah, he's like a little model.
Model?
He's like a little
Bobby,
model.
You don't have to say anything about his height.
Because he's short, though.
Like, man, that's his drawback.
He's just he's describing him, so if listeners don't know what he looks like.
Can you imagine if Victoria's Secret model shows up and she's like 4'1"? Everybody would be like, you look great, but you're short.
Well, I'm glad you think you're the hottest guy on the show. Yes.
And just, I want to update the total likes on that one comment.
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, I thought it was like 4,000.
No, not that many. Four is a lot, though. Like, no one likes everybody else's comment.
Stop it. I don't even want to put the girls under this question because it makes them feel awkward.
Yeah. We don't want to make them feel awkward.
We'll just settle
Oh, we want to hear their opinion.
No,
though.
We don't.
I don't care to hear y'all's opinion.
Y'all make us do this because, all the time.
Because I feel like you guys are just like, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so you just go with Bobby.
Oh, that's why they just go with me, Rude?
I think so. I'm not rude, Bones. I'm just being honest.
That's the truth.
Amy, who's the best looking guy in the show?
What? I thought we weren't. You just said we weren't going to do this. Okay. We weren't. We just said.
But if we did,
said,
do it.
We're not doing it.
If we did do it.
How about what if we did it? This is not a fun game.
Okay, so you don't want to take part in it?
No, okay. I don't.
Why do you keep looking at me right now?
Because I'm in love with you, Eddie.
Yes.
You're so beautiful. I can't stop staring.
Okay, so you don't want to be a part of this
I don't.
Game. Okay. Morgan, number two, who's the best?
No,
I wouldn't play this game with the girls.
Who's
that
the best-looking guy on the show, Morgan, number two?
I'm out.
Okay.
I made Eddie mad last time. I'm not doing it.
Why would you say about Eddie?
I put Eddie last. You got really
last
mad
out of everyone.
But yes. you've gotten a lot more fun, though.
Like, even behind Mike D, I think.
Oh, well.
Not to hate on Mike D. I'm just saying. Like, put me last.
Eddie, I like this, though, about you. You're confident.
Thank you, man.
I like that. We'll leave it there, okay?
All right.
Bobby Bones.
I got a question from Twitter. It says, hey, what's your favorite movie of all time? This would be a good get-to-know-the-Bobby-Bone show. So, around the room, you have one movie. Just one.
It's hard. It's a hard
question. There's a lot of good movies out there.
So, what is your favorite movie of all time? Amy, I'm going to go to you.
I guess I got to go with Dirty Dancing. Just a classic to me.
What about it makes it your favorite?
Well, it's nostalgic to me. It's something I watched with my sister. Like, I picture us at the living room, my house, the house we grew up in. I have so many feelings when I watch it, and it's special. It's got some good quotes, has all the things, and the dancing and the music is good to me. So, I like it.
Lunchbox, your favorite one movie of all time?
Oh, that's a tough one, but you may take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom! Braveheart.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Every time you see that movie, it just gets you. The guy just fights and fights, and you want to follow him.
Remind you of you?
Oh, yes.
Do you think you're a leader like him?
I am a leader like him. I could lead people out onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you going? I'm going to pick a fight. Yeah. It is so good. It gets you so hyped up.
I think mine's probably Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey.
That guy's movie.
About Andy Kaufman?
Andy Kaufman. I was going to say Andy Cohen, but that's a different guy.
Different guy.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think so. I thought about this. Like, I love Office Space, but I think if I had to pick, like, a movie now, it'd probably be Man on the Moon. I think Andy Kaufman was just so brilliantly, at times, awesome and awful, because he just was not scared to go out and try things. as a comedian, like really odd things. He'd just get up. He was so odd. He would go up and just lay in a tent. He'd get welcome to the show, people, because he was on SNL and Taxi, and he had become this famous character. And he'd go do live shows, and he'd go, let's see what happens. So sometimes he'd just read a book, and he'd open up like The Great Gatsby or whatever the book, and just keep reading it and see how long it took everybody left. And that, to me, that's so funny and crazy, and like I can't believe you'd have the courage to do that. He tried so many things. He would just put up a tent. He'd be like, okay, welcome to the stove, like a stand-up show, right? And at a theater. And he'd build a tent, and everyone's like, I wonder what this crazy guy's going to do. Then he'd get in the tent and zip it up and just go to sleep.
And there'd be one guy left.
And then everybody would be like, what? It was like performance art / comedy. I'm such a fan.
Yeah.
And I love that movie.
Is it a depressing movie? Because doesn't he die?
No, he's dead. He's been dead since we were born.
That's what I'm saying. So, like,
but I mean, there are a lot of great. Didn't Braveheart die? Man, just Wallace. Because somebody dies.
No, I just thought. I've never seen the movie. I don't know much about it. So I thought he was a sad guy. And so.
I think all comedians are sad.
Like, I thought you would pick a more upbeat movie, but of course you pick a sad movie.
That's my favorite movie, that one. Morgan, number two, you're 25. What's your favorite movie?
Sweet Home Alabama. Oh. All the way.
That's a good one.
Easily, huh?
Yeah. I can watch it over and over and not get tired of it. If it's on TV, I watch it.
Is that what the Matthew McConaughey poser?
Yes.
Who's that?
The guy that is like talks.
They couldn't
looks
get
like
Matthew McConaughey, so they cast this guy?
Yeah. I mean, he's good. He probably doesn't funny. Like to be referred to as that because he did a good job.
Is that
but
the only movie he's done?
No,
I don't think so.
No, he did Sweet Home Mississippi. Sweet Home Florida. Eddie, our video producer, give me your favorite movie.
Oh, I'm going to have to go Almost Famous. Forrest Gump is the best movie ever, but Almost Famous is my favorite movie of all time. So good. Yeah, that scene good where they do Tiny Dancer, they're all on the tour bus, and it's like, ugh. I wasn't born in the 70s. I wasn't alive in the 70s, but man, 70s rock and roll is
gotta be
awesome.
Have we all seen everybody's favorite movie? I've never seen Man on the Moon.
Never seen
I've
Bobby's.
I've sort of seen Almost Famous. I've sort of seen Braveheart. I definitely love Sweet Home Alabama.
I think I've seen every... I've seen...
Have you seen Dirty Dancing?
You said... I've seen Dirty Dancing.
I know. Pretty Woman's my other favorite one, but I decided
Dancing,
to go with the less
Alabama, yes,
hooker
Braveheart,
one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen everybody's.
Yeah.
I've not seen Bobby's or Eddie's. Yeah. And that guy's name is Josh Lucas, Matthew McConaughey wannabe.
Well,
fake Matthew McConaughey.
I know, guy. He's been in other things,
like,
right? Lunch
fair,
trucks?
To be fair, I'm a fake Ryan Seacrest, right? People call me that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, one or the other.
It's all right. Bobby Bone
Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Lenko was on the show yesterday, and they shared their first single from their upcoming album. It's called Rival. Here's a clip. Scotty McCreery told People magazine that after 8 months of marriage, his wife, Gabby, no longer wants to drive him to the airport. She said recently, quote, "Remember when they told you there would come a day when you have to get yourself to the airport? That day is today." Darius Rucker went totally nuts over Paul McCartney. He says he was a fanboy at his show, freaking out on every song he claimed was his song.
"I was a fanboy, not just a fan. I was freaking out. My kids were with me, and I was freaking out. Every song came on, I was like, wow, that's my song." It was pretty intense and pretty awesome.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Les Rourke is a little bit older, but he still likes to play basketball a couple times a week. So he's down at the gym playing, you know, hooping it up. He has a heart attack mid-game. Passes out.
Yeah. Wow.
Luckily, his teammates have his back. Jump down, start getting him CPR. Hoo. Les, stay with us. Hoo. Ambulance arrives, gets him to the hospital, and he has to have a 4-way bypass surgery. And doctors say if it wasn't for his teammates, he would have died. So now he's on the sideline, but he'll be back on the court in June. Oh.
That's from downtown.
He's going to go back out?
Yeah.
Well, I'd be scared,
me
huh?
Me too. Yeah.
And so they said, Les, stay with us?
He said, don't give up, Les.
They
stay with
saying
us.
All that?
How do you know?
I just imagine that's what they're saying. Because I watch TV and that's what they say on TV.
Stay with us.
I like that. They're probably saying, oh, beep.
Faster.
Come on. That's a good one. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Pennsylvania. A bride is being sued by the flower shop where she got the flowers for her wedding. She got a bouquet, took pictures, and then she said, I never got the bouquet. I want my $250 back. Trashed them online. So the company was like, here's $250 back. 5 months later, she posts pictures on Facebook. There she is, holding the bouquet and all the pictures.
So then what happens?
So now they're suing her.
Yeah.
All over $250.
I wonder what happened with her to think that, I mean, that she didn't have
in
her bouquet.
Her brain?
She was there trying. It is, the bouquet and all the pictures.
That's weird, man. Mm-hmm. You wonder why she caused such a fuss for $250.
And then went online and trashed them like, it was my big day and yeah. I didn't have a bouquet.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And now she's being sued by them.
Yeah. I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
The Bobby Bones Show.
A super fan who changed his name to Michael Jackson. Now I was like, I don't want to be Michael Jackson anymore.
Oh, no.
By the way, don't change your name.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't name your school after living people. Because humans err. You need to make sure they get completely out of here.
But to be fair, he's not a living person.
I know, but I'm also just saying that like as an aside.
Okay.
Like, don't. Because they mess up.
Oh.
A British superfan who changed his name to Michael Jackson now wants to change it back because of the Leaving Neverland documentary. Who all watched Leaving Neverland? I did.
I want to, but you told me not to.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, you said don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
I will
not
watch
it. 4.5 hours. It's super graphic. You know the gist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said you believe those guys.
I do believe them. Yeah, I think it's... I wish he were alive, and he also went to trial twice and was acquitted. You know, that being said, he's really creepy. He's had little boys with him all the time. But I do believe them. But this guy changed his name to Michael Jackson.
So can he change it back?
He set up a GoFundMe account. He needs $160 to change it.
Pay for it.
And as of Tuesday afternoon, earlier this week, not a single person had pitched in.
Oh. Nobody? Nobody? That people donate to the dumbest things and they're not helping him out?
Yeah, how about get a job?
Lunchbox, you're the king of people GoFundMes.
Okay,
listen to this. Before his Michael Jackson obsession, he had a thing for the Beatles and his legal name was John Lennon.
So he's done this a lot. No one's helping him.
Like his thing?
I'm not helping him.
Okay, there we go.
How many times has he changed his name?
Let me ask you this question. So, you know, I've stopped playing Michael Jackson at the dance party. I haven't, like, made a proclamation, but it just feels kind of weird to play Michael Jackson songs right now. I was at a bar this past weekend, and they were playing, like, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. And I was really, like, feeling the song. Woo! Don't stop till you get enough. And I was like, ooh, should I enjoy this? It was a weird feeling.
How was everyone else doing?
Pretty good. I gotta be honest. They're all dancing pretty good. It felt a little weird. My question is, can you still listen to Jackson 5? Can I play the Jackson 5 on the dance party?
He was a kid.
And it's should we penalize Tito?
Right.
Like
all the other brothers?
What did Jermaine do?
Exactly.
Like, I'm asking a question.
Yeah, I know.
This is pre-crime. If there was.
Right. I mean, I think that Jackson 5 is okay, but Michael Jackson is... I was at my hair place the other day, and they just had it running. You know, on the iHeart app, like, you can have stuff running. You do thumbs up or thumbs down, so it learns what you like and don't like. And they said every time a Michael Jackson song comes on now, because they used to have it in rotation, they have to put thumbs down so their system will get used to not playing it, because they can't... Yeah. They can't play it anymore.
I still like this.
What do we think? Can you still? I think I'm gonna hold off though. I don't
even on the Jackson 5.
Nah, maybe I'll put. I don't. I do like it. He was a kid.
Yeah.
Golly, can't listen to this. We can't watch the Cosby Show. We can't do anything.
Amy's going full comedy routine right now.
I know.
Amy's going full monologue. All right. Well, let me know how you guys.
I just am super bummed about that. And I don't want to. It's fine. But I think about the Cosby Show and what a staple it was in my childhood. And that's something that I would love to watch with my kids right now. And I feel like they would laugh and really like it.
Can you separate the art from the artist? That's the question.
I don't know. You tell me.
Let me ask you this. If the art actually encourages good and says, hey, like let's say Michael Jackson, the Free Willy song, whatever that was.
Or We Are the World.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. We are the children.
Right, which did a lot of good. Like, should that art be able to stand alone for the good it did, but not celebrate the artist who created it? So that's a question that
so
I...
So are you telling me maybe I can watch the Cosby
I'm telling
show?
You need to make your own decision. There isn't a right answer on this.
I'm going to be like, kids, we're going to watch this, but don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
Because well, I don't want to be judged. But it's such a good family show.
Like, it is... That show provided so much happiness,
yes,
shared joy, safety for families to watch. Also, great role models for black kids everywhere.
Agree.
And Amy has two black children.
Exactly.
So my point is, can you not celebrate the art without the art? And there's not a right answer, by the way. So anyway, that's something. You live your own life, but right now I'm going to check out of the Jacksons. Maybe I play in the dance. I don't know.
It looks like you're on the fence.
I'm so torn. Hey, stop crushing candy and make the switch to Best Fiends. Hey, it's Bobby Bones here to tell you about this 5-star rated puzzle game. It's just better than other puzzle games. Don't miss out. Best Fiends is not your average puzzle game. And once you play it, I think you'll agree. Trust me when I say that Best Fiends is just fun. Use your brain as you solve thousands of puzzles, collect tons of characters. If you're sick of playing the same old puzzle game and you want to try something new, go and download Best Fiends right now. No other game like it. And if I can't convince you, maybe the over 90 million downloads of Best Fiends will. There's a reason why Best Fiends has this many downloads. And once you play, you're going to love it. One of the reasons we love it on the show is because it's just so much fun. You don't even need Wi-Fi to play, so it's perfect while you're traveling. Make the switch to Best Fiends, the 5-star rated puzzle game. Again, it's not like all the other puzzle games. Download Best Fiends for free from the Apple App Store or Google Play today. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends. Friends without the R. Best Fiends. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, have you heard about the new scam for your on your cell phone?
I have not. Please tell me, because okay. I'm on my phone all the time.
Yeah, so if someone comes up to you and is like, hey, my battery died on my phone. Can I borrow yours real quick? And you hand it to them, and they act like they're making a phone call. And then they're like, oh, they're not answering. Can I borrow your text message to text them? Oh, they're not texting them. You know what they're doing? They've gone into your Venmo, and they've entered in their Venmo info, and they transfer money to their account.
Well, let me explain what Venmo is to a lot of our listeners, because I don't know that everybody uses it.
Well, it could either be PayPal, Venmo, one of those, any payment, Cash App.
Like, Venmo is an app where you can go, hey, I'm going to buy this dinner. Just send me $15 via Venmo. So you go type it in. Your bank account's connected to your app. You send over $15. It's easy. It's actually, you know, pretty convenient of an app.
Yes.
But people do that and just send themselves money.
Yeah. And then what they do is quickly they delete the app from your phone so you don't get the notification.
Come on.
Boom. Happened to someone in North Carolina where a guy borrowed the phone, transferred $1,400, deleted the app.
Dang.
So the person didn't get the notification. And... experts warn that...
experts.
You should...
who are these experts you speak of?
You should make sure you've got, like, you've got to enter a code or your thumbprint or your eyeballs.
Me, it's always a urine sample.
Oh, good.
Like, you can't even... I don't do face recognition. You got to pee on the phone to get it to work. All right, Amy, what's up?
Okay, let me tell you this. One can of a drink could be life-threatening, according to government researchers.
I saw that because your heart.
Yes.
Like, you just don't know what that stuff is going to do to your heart.
It changes your heart's electrical activity, and it causes it to beat abnormally, and it's not made to handle that stuff on a daily basis. I mean, I would say from time to time you maybe have one, but if you're someone that's drinking them on the daily, you may want to rethink it.
Well, our audio producer who sits in the glass room, does the news, Raymundo, drinks one every day, huh?
Well, there was a time I was drinking those Mutants. I think Monster.
And by the way, Mutants. Is there a more aggressive name for an energy drink than a Mutant? Oh my goodness.
But it really was just to pick me up when I really needed it. If I was feeling down and very tired, and it got me through, it pushed me like an extra 3 hours probably.
Do you still drink your Mutant? You have your morning Mutant?
No, we ran out of them, but I will do Red Bull. But that's a small can. I think it's 8 ounces. It ain't even 12.
Every day?
I'll have an energy drink definitely once a day because I work out.
Yeah, but you don't have to have an energy drink to work out.
You really do.
No, you really don't. Like, you really don't.
I'm dead serious. I've lifted the most that I have when I'm on an energy drink. Usually, if it's just maybe coffee or a Gatorade or something, I can't lift as much.
Okay. Gatorade.
Is Gatorade a supplement to you?
Well, I'll drink. It gives you.
It's just like a sugar shot.
It's just sugar.
It's an energy thing.
It's got some electrolytes.
All right. Thank you, Raymundo, for your insight.
Okay.
The boys over there drinking Mutants.
You have to work out.
I didn't even know Mutants were a thing. What else, Amy?
Lastly, it's Fun Fact Friday.
Oh, we love Fun Fact Friday around here.
Yeah. So get this. Do you know Abraham Lincoln became a lawyer without going to law school? He studied on his own, and then he passed the bar exam. Kind of like that dude in Catch Me If You Can.
Can you still do that today?
I think you take the bar, yes.
Wow.
Dang. I think regardless of what you do in school, you have to go take the bar.
Right.
And the school gets you ready for the bar.
Yeah, but if you say
you should try it.
Yeah, I bet. You could take the, the LSAT?
Stop it. What you guys don't know is I'm already an attorney.
Oh!
I did it last week for fun.
For fun.
I've often thought about going to get my, be a trainer.
What is that?
I don't know.
What certification is that?
I don't know. But I mean, come on. I could probably study that up, right?
Sure, it's easy.
I don't know that it's easy.
But why would you? It's not easy. There's a lot of kinesiology involved. You have to know. Remember, I tried to become a step instructor and I failed.
Guys, Amy tried to be a step instructor. One of my favorite Amy OG stories. She wanted to be a step instructor, where basically you just step on a little pedestal and step back down.
Right, right, right.
But and over and over again, to be fair,
and
more
I was
going to
play the best music and have the most amazing routines. And I was really, really good at it. And when I was 18, I told my mom I wanted to teach step in college and it was going to be my way to make money. So she loaned me the $300 or whatever it is to like take the course and do all the things. And I went like every Saturday, I went to this course. And then finally it was time for the exam. And I had a physical part where I had to teach the class, nailed it. But then there was a written part and I just really didn't pay that much attention to that. And it was asking really hard questions.
Like when you have to step, do you step up or in a hole?
No.
And Amy's like,
no, like about your body parts. Well,
let me think about this for a second.
No.
I think I'm going to step in the hole, Chuck. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
you have to step up.
It wasn't stuff like that. It was like, you know.
It was like, do you wear a shoe?
Ooh.
Really, the kinesiology part, like really scientific body part names, like not just quadricep. It was like something crazy.
Which part of your leg do you lift when you step? Your elbow or your knee?
Oh,
let me think about this.
Yeah. Think hard.
Okay,
let me think.
That's rude. I know. It's your knee.
I'm leaning toward knee. But I'm going to go with show me elbow.
No!
I'm sorry, Amy.
My mom was so mad at me for not taking it seriously. I had to pay her back.
You did?
Well, I mean, the plan was to pay her back anyway, but then it took me way longer to pay her back because I had no income from teaching steps.
Question 3. You may notice on the test that the human foot has how many toes?
Oh.
There was stuff like that. Like how many bones are in the...
I'm going to go with... how many toes? Did you guess 4? No, I'm sorry.
Okay, we haven't even said any of the fun facts besides Abe Lincoln.
Oh, that was really fun, though.
That was a lot of fun.
Spurred a whole conversation.
I have
over
2
here.
More.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know the biggest...
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Do you know the biggest sale in Walmart history was made by Shaquille O'Neal? He spent $70,000 at one store when he got traded from Miami to Phoenix in 2008. He bought a lot of stuff for his new house, but he walked in, and so he holds the record for the biggest purchase at Walmart. And then, sadly... The guy who invented the parachute died testing it.
I think you have to.
Isn't that ironic?
Oh, no.
That's right? So don't you sad, have to?
No, he didn't have to.
I think you test it until you do. I mean,
no.
That's like
listen to what he did.
Okay, go ahead.
He was a tailor in France, so he knew how to sew. He put it all together. He invented the first parachute in 1912, used it to jump off the Eiffel Tower, and died when it didn't quite work right.
You keep testing it. When you're inventing a parachute... You that's
throw
how you're
a dummy
die.
Off the
no,
Eiffel
then we can't
Tower.
Pull it.
Yeah.
We can't pull it.
That's like if Thomas Edison got electrocuted.
It would be like, he probably keeps testing it until he runs out. Peter Principle.
What? I'm sorry, what?
What's that?
Who's Peter?
What's that?
Well, huh?
What? Sometimes you just say
God,
stuff.
Sometimes you're
like,
just too smart for us.
I know.
I may have even
you got dumbing down for us.
Principle. You probably got it right. A lot of times you're like, I don't even know if I have it right.
Let me recite the exact definition of the Peter Principle.
But also, fun fact, maybe the person that invented the Segway died on a Segway accident. They flipped over the handlebars and went off a cliff.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's tragic.
Look at you. Here's the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle is an observation that the tendency is most organized. Rise to the top until you're out. Okay, so it kind of is. Like, you keep going until you fail. Like, you're going to keep going into a level that eventually you just get so high that you've reached a level that you just can't continue to go up.
Okay.
So then you fail down.
That would kind of be
so the
Peter.
Guy makes his parachute better, better, better. Eventually.
Is that where you peter out? Is that where that comes from? Or is that dirty?
No, peter out's not dirty.
Okay. Just checking.
So he kept climbing. Parachute got better, better, better. But then he reached a point where you keep climbing until you fall.
Yep.
Does that make you want to stop, like... climbing because you're
not me
well yeah you're like fail until you don't
yeah and
it's your like your book is like mm-hmm. fail until
that's right
you peter
no. out
wait easy all right Amy is that the pile
yes
there you go
That was Amy's pile of stories. It's time for the good news
with Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's a custodian at a school that everybody loves. He's been there since the school opened. His name's Mr. Lee, and he needs back surgery to avoid being in a wheelchair. It's like serious stuff. Couldn't pay for it. So the community came together, put together a GoFundMe, and the goal was to raise $17,000 for medical bills and living expenses. So far, they've raised $25,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So wow. Mr. Lee can get his surgery and then some.
That's awesome. They came together to do that. That's what it's all about right there. That is a good story.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Over to Amy right now. We'll get the corny in a little early.
The morning corny.
What did the mountain climber name his son?
Cliff. Nah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That was the morning corny.
Also your dad's name.
Yeah, shout out dad.
How's he doing?
He's doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's doing okay. Talked to him the other day, and he's just getting stronger, trying to pass that swallow test.
He had cancer in his throat. He still doesn't anymore, right?
No, they removed it. And he's cancer-free at the moment, had chemo radiation, so no cancer in his body, which is great news, because it had spread a little bit into lymph nodes, so you get worried that it'll hit some organs or something. But we're doing good right now, but still has that feeding tube, and he's not going to be able to eat real food until he can pass the swallow test.
Wow, so no real food for how long?
He hasn't had it
no,
since...
No, past, yeah.
Oh, wait, how long what?
Backward. How long backward?
Oh, he had the surgery last July. No. And feeding tube was never a part of the plan. So he has not had food in his... No food, only feeding tube through his stomach for that long.
Since July.
It's so crazy. I know. But he's got a good attitude about it. I'll be like, what'd you have for breakfast, Dad? He'll be like, I had migas and tacos for lunch. And really, he just had a shake. Poured in his stomach. So he's got a good attitude.
He started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Reba McEntire.
Hey, she walks down the hall. There she is. There she is.
Hey, everybody.
One of my favorite people in the whole world.
In the whole wide world?
In the whole world.
How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Reba. How you doing?
Doing great. Good to see you. It's been a long time since Washington, D.C.
Oh, I was so nervous for that.
You Reba, did great. Thank you for being there for me.
When they said, will you come and introduce Reba? I said, first of all, yes. God, you know I love you. Like, and so, and then I was like, and I don't get nervous really. But that was, that's a big, one, that's like your big honor. And if I went up and butchered that, you'd probably never come on the show again.
Oh, that's not true. But, you know, it was a really huge honor to get to be there because I had been there three times before to help honor Lily Tomlin, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, and Carol Burnett. So I kind of knew the ins and outs, but I never knew the side from setting up in the balcony. So that was really special. So thanks again for being there.
They said, walk out and find Reba in the crowd. And I don't know where you are, and I have to walk out and as I'm doing it, because I do stand up, but there are Supreme Court justices up there.
Yeah.
Not to mention you and Cher. And I'm like surveying the room trying to find you. And I finally find you.
They didn't tell you we were going to be up in the balcony?
They said you'd be up there, but they were like, just find her in the crowd.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm like
that
trying to remember.
Any help.
I know.
Well, that's a big crowd.
You know, all I saw was you, Reba. I'll be honest. Once I found you, there was nobody else in that room.
You're sweet.
Except me and you. So good to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you, too.
I want to play a little bit of this new song, because we're going to play it again. We've been world premiering it this morning. So there's some headphones right there if you want to hear it as I play it. Tell me about this song.
That's what people fight for.
I love this song.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's an anthem. And at first I thought, man, this is a very patriotic song. But really, it's not. It's a love song. This woman has been through a lot of bad times she was looking for love and never found it in the right places. And then she finds the perfect person, and it's a celebration.
It's called Freedom.
Yeah.
It does sound like it'd be a patriotic song, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's more of a, you know, as a human, kind of a, you're liberated as a human in a relationship. What still motivates you and inspires you to make music? I mean, you've done it all.
I love music. I love to record. I love the whole process. I love finding songs. I think that's one of the most intriguing things to me is trying to find the songs because there's so many people looking for those great monster hits, but also the songs that touch their hearts. And that's what I look for.
Does someone go, Reba, we have 10 songs for you to listen to today. And you just sit down and go, yes, no, maybe.
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
So what do they play it on? Like, walk me through this. Someone says, hey, when you go to your office, Reba.
I get them MP3s. I get them in Dropbox. I get them in CD form. And then I'll go to publishing companies and listen. So it's a wide variety of ways of getting songs.
And do you ever know these people that are singing the songs? Because I think that would be tough. Like if you know one of your friends is singing that vocal and you got to say no to that. Does that happen often?
Well, I don't really go by the person who is singing it. And I don't even like to know who's written it. Because I'll show partiality sometimes because that will might influence my decision. So I don't look at the lyric sheet, because there's the name of who's written the song. And even when I go to a publishing company and they start playing me songs, I ask, you know, don't say who wrote this.
Really? You tell them.
Here's a Liz Hingberg song. And of course, I'm going to really pay attention to Liz because she's had like 10 of my number one records. She's written them. So I want to be just open to the song.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Reba McEntire.
What comes to your mind? I pulled some of my favorites.
Okay, great.
Like Little Rock. And I'm from Little Rock. you know, and I'm from Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
And that to us was just like, we were just happy to get our name in a song, to be honest with you.
Jerry Howe sent me that song, and I fell in love with it. It's just a really up-tempo, sassy song. She's kind of taken advantage of the situation, taking control of the situation, not advantage, because he's left. But, you know, Little Rock, the diamond on her finger, is gone.
What about the night the lights went out in Georgia?
Well, that's a funny one because Vicki Lawrence had the hit on that years ago. Mm-hmm. And I loved it when she had it out. And 20 years after she had her number one record, I recorded it. And it became a number one record for me again.
I love Vicki Lawrence for multiple reasons. Her music and then Mama's Family.
Oh, yeah.
I would watch Mama. I've seen every episode of Mama's Family.
Yeah.
It still comes on. I still watch your show, too.
Thanks.
It's weird because you come in today and I haven't seen you. We saw each other briefly in D.C., and then we saw each other last year a couple times. But I feel like I see you all the time because you're on TV all the time.
Yeah.
You never really get out of my peripheral, Reba.
Well, when you see people on television, you think that, oh, we're friends. Because you're in my house all the time. Because I watch you on television. And the guy who played the mailman on Friends, Cheers. I saw him one year when we were doing the ACMs. And I just walked up and said, hey, how you doing? I gave him a big hug. He said, do I know you? I said, oh my gosh, no you don't, but I know you, and I just assumed you did.
That's funny.
Because that's how you feel, because they come into your house, they're in your living room, and you think you know them.
Before you did Reba, was there any reservations about moving to Los Angeles and doing a sitcom?
Uh-huh.
Oh, there were?
Yeah.
What was the biggest one?
I didn't want to leave Tennessee, and I didn't know that I'd like it. But we went in the latter part of the 1990s looking for a sitcom. And you never know. I mean, sometimes they film in Canada. Sometimes they film in Georgia. And I thought, well, maybe I might get lucky and do it in Tennessee. And so it didn't. And we filmed in L.A. And at first, I wasn't liking it too much. But then I grew to love it.
Did you do the thing where you went and you shot a pilot and they shopped it?
Uh-huh.
Or did you know immediately this show's going to get picked up?
No, they shopped it. Well, we shot it. And then you don't know until after upfronts if you're going to get picked up or not. But it went to, you know, we were there and Fox owned it. And then it went to the WB, which was before CW.
Was it always called Reba?
No. At first it was called Sally because they were wanting to get Sally Field to do the show. And Sally turned it down. And then I was going to be Sally.
Oh, and they were going to keep you, but keep the name Sally.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then at the very last moment, they changed it to Reba. Matter of fact, when we taped the pilot, we filmed two times. We did in the afternoon and one at night in front of an audience. So we asked them if they would do the afternoon, me being Sally, and that night, me be Reba.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what'd you think about that?
Well, I wanted it. I wanted it to be Reba desperately bad because I had a fairly good fan following, and I thought that would help people find the show better. And they didn't name it Reba until after Upfronts.
So they were calling it at Upfronts. They called it Sally.
No, they called it Deep in the Heart because our hometown at that place was Houston. At that time was Houston, so Deep in the Heart of Texas. And so at the very last minute, after the upfronts, they said, we're going to call it Reba.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Reba McEntire.
I want to play another one of your new songs here. This is Know You in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Play some of this one.
You put the T for tears in Texas. S for sad in St.
I like to get that old school. Like, a lot of steel. Tell me about this song.
Western Swing. Okay, so Donna McSpadden is the wife of Clem McSpadden, who was the man who let me sing the national anthem at the National Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City in 1974. I met Red Steigall there during that time. 11 months later, I have a recording contract with PolyGram Mercury. So Donna, several years ago, she emails me and says, Reba, I've got a great idea for a song for you. And I said, okay, what is it? She said, there's no you in Oklahoma, and that's okay with me. I thought, man, that's a great idea. So I gave it to Kelly Clarkson. I gave it to Ronnie Dunn. I gave it to my niece, Autumn McIntyre. And I said, guys, help me write this song. Well, nobody ever got back to me. So we were all down in Cancun, Mexico, and Ronnie was there. And he started playing on his guitar, riffing a little bit. And he said, hey, I think I got an idea for this song, There's No You in Oklahoma. Well, nothing ever happened with it until this album. And I told Jim and everybody that I wanted to do a real traditional country album, something like I grew up with, because we played dance halls more than bar rooms, but where they danced, and they danced in a round oval pattern. And so Western swing, two-stepping, waltzes. And I said, this would be perfect. So I played it for Buddy Cannon, my producer. Oh, this is even worse. After Ronnie had written his version, I was leaving a wedding in Palm Springs, and I just wrote "There's No You in Oklahoma." So I send Buddy Cannon my version. And he said, no, I'm going to pass on that. I didn't tell him I wrote it. And then I found Ronnie's version in my computer, and I sent it to him a week or two later. And he said, oh, I love this. I said, well, okay. Now we know who the professional songwriter is. It's Ronnie Dunn. So we recorded it. And so Donna McSpadden, Ronnie, and I wrote the song.
Look at that. It's crazy to me that you guys are just chilling on an island, and Ronnie's like, Reba, I got this song. And you guys just start playing songs. Like,
yeah.
You're humans, but you guys are like, you know, country, you know, gods and goddesses to us.
Well, it's pretty funny, too, all the songs that will never see the light of day, but it's kind of fun just kind of throwing out ideas, and they're kind of hysterical, some of them are.
What do you and Ronnie Dunn do on a beach when you're out there? I bet you have it all, right? You got, like, people cooking, like, full chicken spinning around. You got pigs. I bet you got it all. I haven't even seen anything like that before in my life. I bet that's crazy,
fun.
Huh?
We have a lot of fun, yeah. Ronnie and Kix both are fun to hang out with. They're great personalities. They're characters. We're just like family together when we hang out.
I told them, because they were in here. We were in D.C. together, too, because,
yeah,
you know, they obviously played. I was like, I got to come to this Vegas show that you guys are doing.
Oh, please do.
How does that work with you guys? Do you guys go on together?
Uh-huh. We're on the stage a lot together. We go on together, and then I leave, and they do some songs. Then I come on, they leave. And then vice versa. And then we all come out together in the middle and then trade off again, and we end the show together.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Reba McEntire.
Who's your favorite artist? Like, if you had to pick one, maybe we don't do one. You're on a deserted island. We'll give you the old deserted island. You get three records.
Oh, Leanne Womack for sure.
Okay.
Merle Haggard and Bruno Mars.
You love Bruno Mars, huh?
I do.
Nice. Yeah?
I do. I've seen him in concert 3 times.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a relationship at all with Merle? Did you guys know each other?
I opened the show for Merle quite a bit, and I was scared to death to meet him. I didn't want to meet him because I thought he'd be a jerk, and he was the nicest guy.
You know, I feel that way with a lot of people, yourself included, where it was like, oh, I don't know if I want to meet somebody that I just admire.
Oh,
because
no.
They can't get any better, right? You meet someone, and you don't think they can. You have, though. You've gotten way better. You go... You know, I already think they're so great, and there's no way they can meet that expectation. But then when they do, it's awesome. And
yeah,
because sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you meet them and you go,
yeah,
you know, that kind of stinks. But Merle was awesome, huh?
He was awesome. Another person that I was really tickled about meeting was Dolly Parton. Met her early on, 1977. First time I ever saw her. I don't think I met her. I just saw her. But then when she came out to spend a week with us in L.A. to do the Reba TV show, she treated everyone equally and would just look you right in the eye. I don't care if it was the catering people, one of the co-stars, whoever it was. She was totally genuine at all times.
Are you and Dolly friends now?
No, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you just call and be like, Dolly, you watching Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix?
I do have her telephone number,
yeah,
yes.
All right. Reba's here. We're all premiering her new song, Freedom, all morning long. I was looking at some stuff that I had from the last time you were here that I didn't get to. And one of the things was, there was this death hoax about you,
mm-hmm,
where you had to come out and announce that you hadn't died.
Yeah.
Let me find this note, because I remember this happening.
Yeah. I do too, very
okay.
well.
Okay, there was a Reba death hoax. In January 2012, Reba had to deny a report that she had died after falling off a mountain in Austria while shooting a movie.
Yep, that was right.
So what happened?
Isn't that weird? What happened?
Just make this up?
Makes it up.
Out of thin air.
Oh, yeah. They do it a lot to a lot of people. But the bad part of it was my nephew, Trevor Foran, was somewhere traveling, and he stopped to get gas and walked in to pay for the gas, and the people were talking about my death. And he calls his mom, my sister, crying. He said, Mom, Ma died. And she said, are you sure? He said, that's what they said in the get and go here where I was at. And she called me immediately. And I said, wow, Lord, no. It's very cruel.
So someone just sat somewhere and made it up out of thin air and then posted it. It gets retweeted a few times. And next thing you know, you're having to go, I'm alive to your own family.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Matter of fact, we were talking about it yesterday. I told Skeeter, and I didn't die. I'm still alive. He said, no kidding.
Reba has some 2019 dates with Brooks and Dunn for her residency in Vegas. It's Reba, Brooks and Dunn together in Vegas in June and in July, the 26th, 28th, and 29th of June, and July 3rd, 5th, and 6th. Now, tell me about this full record, because it ain't out yet, but what's happening with the album here?
What do you mean, what's happening with it?
Like, I have some songs here, but when do I get, like, 15 songs? Like, a whole... When's all of it come out?
Well, it comes out the 5th of April.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Right
all
before
I know,
the ACM.
Perfect
How
timing.
How about that?
It's almost like you had
We're
that.
Pretty smart, by golly.
Reba. You are my favorite.
Thank you.
I don't even know what to say. The new record comes out in April.
April 5th.
We have four songs today. That we have a Freedom, which we're playing on the radio all morning. We have Stronger Than the Truth.
Uh-huh.
No, You in Oklahoma. You and Ronnie Dunn sitting on a beach eating a pig, writing a song. And In His Mind all today. And you're going to be hosting the ACMs and just living life.
Having fun.
Are you still having fun?
I am. Love it.
What's your hobby? Like if someone said, Reba, what's your hobby? What do you say?
Oh, my. Well, I do like to go walking in nature. I like to go walking trails. I love to hang out with buddies and friends. I love to go out to eat. And I can clean a closet out in a heartbeat.
Reba, it is always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you so
good
much.
Good to see you
Glad to see you have new music. Can't wait to see you at the ACMs and just all the Reba things I could possibly say.
Come out to Vegas to see Ronnie and Kixon and myself.
I really am going to try to come. You're doing 6 shows.
Uh-huh. And then back in December.
If I get to all 6 of them... That'll be okay, right?
That'll be fine.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Reba McEntire, there she is again.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name is Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah. These are all super easy trivia questions. You should know all these. That's why it's called Easy Trivia.
Yeah, but we rarely do.
Amy, Lunchbox, producer Eddie. Got a lot of questions here. You know what? It's a fun Friday. Let's bring in Morgan number two as well.
Yeah.
Last time she played Easy Trivia, she was like, oh, man. We'll go down the list. If you miss it, you're out.
It's harder than you think, people.
If you miss it, you're out. Amy.
Ready.
My longtime co-host. What's the tallest mountain in the world? Easy Trivia. What's the tallest mountain in the world?
Mount Everest.
It's really good.
Good. Over to Lunchbox. Easy trivia.
All right.
How many planets are in the solar system? By the way, we're going to say this. It goes back and forth on Pluto.
Oh, so.
We hear it's not a planet. We hear it is a planet. We hear it's a dwarf planet. We're going to say Pluto is a planet for this answer only, okay?
It is a planet.
It is a planet. So how many planets in the solar system?
Guys, I have no
Really?
Idea.
You don't know the little thing like... No.
Wait, the Raging Idiots did a song.
This is the only way I'm going to do it. My very energetic mother just made me five pizzas?
It's planets are the next.
How many did you count there? What's your answer?
How many did I count?
He his fingers up.
But he moved his fingers, so now he lost count.
Eight?
He says eight.
I have no idea.
We're counting Pluto, okay?
Okay.
If we count Pluto, how many is there?
I said eight. I have no idea.
Your answer is eight.
Yeah, I have no idea.
If we count Pluto, it's nine. You counted nine on your fingers? You messed up all the words. You messed up all
But you had the right number.
Yes.
Amy making a comment in there messed me up.
That did not mess you up.
You said, one planet starts with F. So then I was like, oh, then I miscounted. It must be eight.
Eddie and I, the Raging Idiots,
very rude.
Did a kid's song about the planets.
My very energetic mother just served us nine pizzas. My very energetic mother just served us nine pizzas.
Oh, nine pizzas. So I said five pizzas, and I had nine. And then I got the comment from the other player.
From the start, at planet number one, meet my good friend Mercury. It's closest to the sun. A little fast and no so hot and slightly colored gray. And right behind it is Venus, planet two, you say. The Roman goddess of beauty is where it got its name. The whole planet is burning. It's basically a flame. And then we go from planet two to planet number three. Put your hands in the air. Yo, Earth, can you hear me?
My name is planet Earth, and I am right where you live. Trees and lakes and birds and bees, some old folks and some kids.
The solar system we live in with the only life around Earth is 3/4 water, our H2O renowned.
My very energetic mother just served us nine pizzas. My very energetic
Anyway, there you go. That's on our Raging Kids album.
Very educational.
Raging Kidiots. But yes, but we said Pluto, if considered a planet, because it goes back and forth.
So he's out.
He's out. Eddie.
Come on.
Easy trivia. What's the largest desert in the world?
Oh, deserts. I like desserts.
What's the largest desert? Sand, cactus, you know, that thing.
Desserts. I got it.
What's the largest desert in the world?
Okay, there's the Mojave.
Easy trivia. Oh, Mojave. That's the option.
But I'm going Sahara.
Sahara. Correct.
Come on. That's easy.
Morgan number two, easy trivia.
She's so scared right now.
What's the capital of Japan? Morgan, I want you to think about that. 25 years old. You ever been to Japan?
No, I've never been to Japan.
Is there a Japan, Kansas?
No.
Okay. What's the capital of Japan? Easy trivia. Morgan number two. How many Japan cities do you know?
I don't think I know any cities in Japan.
That's rough. And you went to college where?
K-State.
All right, K-State, represent. Man. What's the capital of Japan? Morgan number two.
decide.
Just pick one.
Just pick a city that you think.
China is the only thing that comes to mind, and I know okay. That's a country. I'm going with China.
Show me China.
Right.
No. Okay.
Wow. Maybe the dumbest answer we've ever had of this.
Well, but if she doesn't know any cities in Japan, it would truly be hard to just come up with
one. I think even Nashville would have been a better answer than China.
Oh.
But, you know,
well,
sorry,
maybe she thought there was like...
The answer is Tokyo.
That makes more sense now.
Only two people remain, Amy and Eddie, as we do easy trivia. You ready, Amy?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What's the imaginary line that divides the world into the northern and southern hemisphere? Now, there's a line. You don't really see it.
It's imaginary?
Yeah, you can't actually walk up to it.
Well, it's imaginary, but I've been to it.
Yeah?
I have walked up to it.
Go ahead.
And I have taken a picture on the equator.
Wow. Oh,
nice.
When I was in Kenya, it's right there.
Eddie.
Come on.
What's the state capital of?
China? Of what?
Utah. Our video producer Eddie over here. He's dropping easy trivia.
Yeah.
What is it?
Utah? Salt Lake City.
Yes!
Oh my gosh! I tried to be all cool about it, but I didn't really know.
Yes. Amy.
I wouldn't have known that.
What year did Columbus get credit for discovering America?
In the year of 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
There you go. By the way, Columbus never actually came to America, ever. I told you guys.
Bobby debunked that.
Well, no, he went to Haiti or the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And then when we had to figure out who to credit it to.
Amerigo.
So, okay, Eddie?
Come on.
The outer layer of Earth that we live on is called the what? Easy trivia. The outer layer of Earth that we live on.
So in the middle, it's the core, and then it's the mantle, and we're the crust.
Woo! Yeah! Good job, Eddie!
This is crazy!
Oh, they get a little tougher in easy trivia.
Wow!
Amy, what's the White House address? Like the street address of the White House?
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue!
Oh, you knew that?
Yeah! I've been there too!
All right, Eddie.
Come on.
The perimeter of a circle is known as what? The perimeter of a circle is known as what?
The easy perimeter, trivia. Like the outside of the circle?
Around the circle. The perimeter of a circle is known as what?
The circumference.
Oh,
what?
My gosh!
Oh, my gosh!
This is crazy.
These two are killing it. Amy.
Yeah?
Who is the speaker of the United States House of Representatives? Who's the speaker of the House?
Is she still doing it?
Who's the speaker of the House?
You got it, Amy.
Man, I basically have checked out from politics lately. Nancy Pelosi? What up?
You did it!
Hey, Nancy!
Eddie, the perimeter... Oh, I did that one.
Oh, circumference.
Yeah, no. Oh, here it is. What's the top... In a fraction. You have kids. How old are your kids?
11 and 5.
Oh, okay. This is going to be hard.
What's the top number in a fraction called? You have the bottom number.
Oh.
What's the top number?
The bottom
number
one's the denominator.
Okay, what's the top... Easy trivia. What's the top number?
The num... The numerator.
Wow! I literally just helped Stashira with
gosh,
that.
That's crazy.
I gotta tell you guys, you've nailed all the easy trivia questions. We have one more. We'll go to sudden death between the two.
Oh, sudden death.
Amy, what have we learned?
What? I don't know.
Do you just want to call it a tie?
No.
So you're just gonna say your name and then think about it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not very good at that.
Here we go. Buzz in
like
with your name.
I like to be confident.
Buzz in with your name. What's the smallest state in the United States?
Amy.
What's
Delaware.
Delaware. No.
Shoot, I always miss this one.
Eddie.
Hawaii.
No, the smallest are you.
It's tiny.
No.
Amy, back over to you.
Hold on. It's over there. Delaware, Maine. What are those other ones?
What's the smallest
state? Now I'm saying the other ones.
What's the smallest state?
I know. We've done this
Amy, you
all
better
the
get
time.
It. You better get it. I know
3
it.
3 seconds.
New Hampshire.
No, I'm sorry. Incorrect. Eddie, you can have it now.
Yep, Rhode Island.
Is that
come
it?
Come on! Come on! Come on, Bones!
Oh, bummer.
Yeah!
Look at this guy.
Hawaii?
And those were hard questions.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
It was easy trivia. All right, good.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Teen in New Jersey was homeless, but then got accepted to 17 colleges with a bunch of scholarships.
Wow.
Yeah, one New Jersey student overcame homelessness to win his choice of where to go to school. 17 years old, Dylan Chittick got 17 acceptance letters and some scholarship money. His family's been in and out of homelessness. He said that not only was he senior class president, He was inducted into the Honor Society, and now he is the first in his family to go to college.
It's amazing.
He's like, I just showed up.
That's so
cool. Every day, even when it was tough, I just showed up.
That's what you say all the time, just show up.
That's 90% of it. Mm-hmm. Just get there. If you get there, then good things can happen. If you don't get there, nothing's going to happen. And if you get there late, sometimes those opportunities will be cut from you just because you didn't show up on time. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. Man, why would you want to play from a deficit?
Yeah.
Exactly. So don't get there late.
Play from a deficit.
Play from behind. Like, you don't have all the opportunities.
Gotcha.
Because there are certain people, myself included, if you show up somewhere late, you're already working from behind. You may not even get to work. As you know.
Yes, right. As we know. Right. We know
that. We know.
Right, team?
No, we know. Trust me. We got it. Don't be late.
That's right. That's right.
It's always fun.
We hear it every day, and it's really annoying.
There you go. That's what it's all about. Good job to him.
That was Tell Me Something Good. Bobby Bone,
come on. Hey, Flashback Friday. We'll look back at 1998. Right. If it were today, 1998.
Flashback Friday.
So we're looking back at 21 years ago today.
Ooh.
1998. What were you doing, Amy?
I was a junior in high school.
Yeah. I graduated in 98.
Yeah.
Big year for me. You graduated class of like 42.
Guys, I was in college.
Yeah. Lunchbox is junior in high school.
I was a junior in high school playing on the varsity soccer team, 1 year away from being named prom king.
Oh, wow.
It still hadn't happened yet. That's crazy.
In 1998, on this day, the number one country song is Nothing But the Taillights by Clint Black.
Now I'm talking in the moonlight, seeing nothing but the taillights.
Look at you guys.
Yeah. That's about taillights I may never see again. She hit me with a left hand right. Showing me nothing but the taillights. That's about as lonely as the highway's ever been.
Out here with my thumb in the wind.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, dude.
That was your number one song on this day in 1998. Nothing But the Taillights by Clint Black.
Obviously. Lunchbox and I were probably jamming out to that on Case 101.
The biggest pop song is Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith.
Oh.
Getting Jiggy With It.
Cultural phenomenon. Everybody was like, you getting jiggy with it? Like, that was actually a term.
Yeah, and you were like, the guy from Fresh Prince? This is awesome.
Will Smith was the most legit rapper for a while. Like, he was the hip-hop guy.
What? You want the ball with your kid?
Watch your step, you might fall. Try to do what I did.
Keep going.
We good. The biggest thing in pop culture, because the biggest movie in the U.S. for the 14th week in a row on this day.
I know.
What is it?
Can I guess? Titanic.
Yeah.
I saw this with my junior year boyfriend.
On this day, the movie brought in another $14 million and went on to be the number one movie. It made over $650 million at the box office, which is crazy back then. It was number one for 14 weeks.
From the king of the world!
There you go.
Is that what put Leo on the map?
He was already on the map. What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Romeo and Juliet. But yes, that's the one that was like super, super, superstar.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember on Valentine's Day, I think it came out, I went with my neighbor Scotty. We went and watched.
You guys went?
Yeah. We were both.
Who paid?
Probably him.
Don't answer.
I was poor.
That was a joke.
Oh, yeah. That was a joke. Here's your Flashback Friday on this day 21 years ago.
Wherever you are.
Morgan, number two, what were we doing in 1998?
I was 5 years old and I had just graduated kindergarten.
That's crazy.
Do you know Nothing But the Taillights, Morgan number two?
Yeah, I do.
You do? How come you didn't jump in?
I was letting Lunchbox own that one. He doesn't do that.
All right, Morgan number two.
I'm talking in the moonlight. See nothing but the taillights. Nothing but those taillights I've never seen.
Jam. Good for you guys.
The Bobby Bones Show.
What's your favorite pop song right now?
It's got to be Seven Rings, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Lashes and diamonds, ATM machines. Buy myself all of my favorite things.
This is like my hair.
I cut it.
My hair.
I wanted it.
You like it?
I bought it.
So
she surrendered 90% of this revenue to these guys.
Brown paper packages tied up.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
These are a few of my favorites.
Are they still alive?
No.
Wow.
Why?
Because they wrote that's them.
Lashes and
Did she know that?
Of course, it's a very.
Oh, so she. I didn't know if like she got sued or she just did it.
She surrendered 90% of the royalties to dead songwriters Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein or Hammerstein.
Wow. Cream-colored
ponies. They own the Broadway songs for this. My favorite things.
Doorbells and sleigh bells and.
She said that she was so desperate because time was running short that she never negotiated. They wanted 90%, so she gave it to them, and they're gonna make millions. 10% to Ariana, who has to split it with seven other songwriters.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Oh, wow. Seven people came up with.
I want it.
You
well,
like
I got
my
it.
Hair.
Don't be haters.
She thinks. Just bought it.
Don't be haters.
I see it. I like it.
It's different than pop than it is country.
I've got it.
It's like, hey, for Song of the Year, Pharrell with 93 writers.
Well, I mean, come on. How many people wrote Emoji Love Song? 30?
Me, you, and Brandon Ray. That's it. But yeah, you're right. I think I know song. These are a few of my favorite things. My butt, my hat, my. All right, there's that.
I like it.
We good? Everybody yeah. good? Weekend good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your kids come home probably?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Wait, they've been staying with their aunt.
Yeah, Mary.
In California.
Mm-hmm.
And so do they miss you because they're having so much fun?
Oh, they want us to move there.
Oh, because they've had so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And they think it's so easy. And I'm like, well, it's not that easy. We work in Nashville. Just tell Bobby. And they're like, we know you have studios here. We saw you go. So they just think it's so true. Simple. Like, they don't get it. And I'm like, it's definitely not that easy, kids.
Do you miss them?
Yes. I've been FaceTiming with them, like, every couple hours.
Every couple hours? Are they like, Mom, we're good?
No, they love to show me things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Mostly what candy they're eating. Because they're like...
Because they're with aunt, not mom and
or
dad.
Or like, yeah, they're doing like all the things.
Did you give them any rules since they were going away?
No, I said, you're on spring break. The only rule is no sodas. We have a no soda rule.
Ever?
They haven't had a soda since they came to America.
Did wow. you know
Except
of?
For, well, no, at school one time, Stashira had one because the teacher gave it and I was like, ew.
Teacher gave a soda?
I don't, or they had it somewhere, like at a party at the school. I don't know.
We used to have Coke machines in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yep. Do they still have those?
Not currently they where they go to school.
This should be
but
illegal.
That's the one thing I will not budge on. I budged on a lot that I didn't think I was going to budge on, but sodas, I put my foot down because I know how addicted I was, and I just don't want them to have to go through that.
Someone had hit me up on Twitter and was like, hey, 3-liter Mountain Dews were a thing? We only know 2-liter. And I was like, oh, yeah. I used to drink a 3-liter a day Mountain Dew. Like, they were just humongous. We had them in Arkansas. Did you guys all have 3-liter?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you didn't drink it.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
If you didn't drink it within 2 days, it would go flat. So you had to just take it down.
Yeah, you had to.
Had to.
It was this thing. I got a message, too, from someone on Twitter. And they said there was a teenager kicking the back of their seat. They were like, what do I do? I'm on a flight.
Oh, a teen?
Yeah, so I said, pass them a note. Because I thought, you don't want to turn around and be like, hey. And I said, here, I'll write the note for you. So I told her, hey, trying to get a little sleep so I feel dope when we land. It'd be so lit if you stop kicking my seat. Can I get that hundo P from you? Love for your squad. Thanks, fam.
I mean, the teenager would totally understand that.
Yeah, it's like, you'd be like, oh, sorry about that. All good.
Oh, my gosh. Bobby Bone,
come on. If you could give up one chore for the rest of your life, you don't have to do it ever again. Think about this. Oh. What would it be one chore that you have to do all the time that you hate?
I already know it.
Amy?
Clean the bathroom. I like cleaning. I like vacuuming. I like laundry. I don't like cleaning the bathroom.
Because?
I don't know. I just gross. Don't like it. Yeah. It's gross.
Lunchbox?
That's easy. Changing diapers.
Oh.
Well, the baby will grow out of that.
Well, I'm just telling you, they're disgusting. And, I mean, there's years until he grows out of that, and it's gross. Like, I mean, there is nothing fun about changing a nasty, dirty diaper. And so if I could not change another diaper for the rest of my life, it would be amazing. Yes, I love my kid, but I don't love changing his diaper. I said it. Hate me for it.
Wow, no
Nobody
one's hating.
Hates you.
Like, we're all like, oh, we kind of agree sense. With
you. Yeah, it is a bummer.
Eddie?
Folding clothes. I'd rather pick up poop in the backyard. I would rather clean a skyscraper window. I don't care. Fold clothes, I'm out.
Wow. I just hate doing laundry because it never ends. There's always laundry.
Yeah. Always.
There's always laundry. Here are the biggest answers. The most popular response was cleaning the toilet, followed by washing the dishes, and then doing the laundry. Oh. Those are the biggest chores either way. That's it for today. That wraps up a pretty solid week of shows. Thanks to Reba for coming by today. Go listen on the podcast. Hey.
Amy, what's going on this weekend?
Oh, you know, fun stuff like, well, California Closet just put in my new closet. So my clothes have been in my dining room for like 2.5 weeks now. And so I'll be transferring everything back to my closet and organizing it.
Yeah.
Really pretty. So I know it's riveting stuff, but I don't know. Probably if it's good weather, go do something cool with the kids. We'll see. What about you?
Well, I've been in California and let me see. I have to get my shoulder work on, some physical therapy. On Sunday is the first Hollywood Week show on American Idol. I'm officially on Sunday night for the first time on American Idol. So I am full-time now. I've just finished Dancing with the Stars. When you see me, it's like 3 days after I won. I'm super skinny, and I'm like, hello, let me help you.
Oh, but it's been that long ago since you shot it.
It was before Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's Hollywood Week, though. So I'm on for the first time. And I saw myself in a promo the day, like telling everybody to relax. Which, by the way, nothing makes you relax less than someone yelling relax at you.
It's true. And like, relax.
Have you ever relaxed when someone said relax?
No.
No, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but Idol on Sunday night is my first... I hope people watch. I hope people check it out.
Yeah,
so,
I'll be watching.
Yeah.
Are you going to yoga it up this weekend?
I don't know. Why you want to go?
If you go, text me.
I haven't been in a while. I've been riding that bike so much.
I know.
But I'm up for it.
If you decide to leave your room.
Or we can go box or something. Yoga box, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Check out a couple podcasts. The Bobby Cast is up. Writer Emily Wiseband, who I thought was super fun. She wrote... Consequences for Camila Cabello.
Loving you is sunshine.
Next Boyfriend with Lauren Alanna. Pretty sassy. So check that out. Amy, also your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 Things with Amy Brown.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Husband's on talking adoption and fertility. I've got a guest on that's having a breast explant surgery. So she talks about why breast implants might be harmful. And then keys to happiness and why I drink matcha lattes.
Also, Lunchbox Eddie and Raymundo have the Sore Losers podcast, a sports show that goes up pretty much every day, huh?
Pretty much every day. Ooh. We talk sports. We talk pop culture. We talk news. We just have fun. Bunch of idiots.
We had UFC fighters on this week.
Yeah.
So search for the Sore Losers, S-O-R-E Losers, on iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Bye, everybody.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.